Now, we have planned for you right now, or we thought we did, Kevin MacDonald, who is the filmmaker who's made this amazing, beautiful, fascinating documentary on Bob Marley, which opens at the CCA tonight. It's just called Marley. It's a great movie. And we seem not to be able to get him by phone. So right now, I would like to welcome, and we'll see if he calls in or if we're able to get him, we will bring him to you in a few minutes. Right now, I'd like to welcome Ben Swan and Carl Ferguson. Ben Swan is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society and is a regular guest on this show talking about animals. He writes about animals for the Santa Fe New Mexican. Carl Ferguson is with the St. Vincent Hospital Foundation and is always with us about once a year with Paws for a Cause. Welcome, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Thank you for inviting us on the show.
Good morning. So Paws for a Cause, is it that time again already?
It is. Isn't it great?
What is it?
Paws for a Cause.
I forget every year, yeah. So you'll have to remind us.
Paws for a Cause is just a real fun event that we combine, you know, exercise and, well, let's not say exercise, but let's say fun activities outside with a dog or not. It takes place Saturday. Registration is at 8 a.m. at Alto Park. And what it is a 5K walk to the plaza or a 10K run.
A 5K walk to the plaza, or a 10K run, and what, you have to get sponsors for it? And
no, well, we thought about doing that. We haven't actually done that. Hopefully we can organize that next year. It's just a registration, and you get a T-shirt, and we also have this huge, we've been kind of growing our marketplace, which is vendors and people who have dog-related and health-related activities and things for people to do after they finish their walk or their run. So it really brings in a lot of different things, you know, we encourage people to be outside with their dog. It's the best thing to do with an animal, and also just for yourself as well. So that's why it's a really great partnership with the St. Vincent Hospital Foundation and the shelter.
So it's a 10K race and dog walk, but what if you want to race with your dog?
Well, we don't really encourage the 10K run. It's just with a dog because it's...
Because the dogs will win?
Not only that, it's just sometimes, I don't know, I run with my dog, but... a lot of dogs sort of, you know, they don't obey the traffic rules. They might run in front of people, and some dogs just can't do 10K.
Or they peter out after
exactly.
Yeah, couple
yeah it
K.
Depends whether you have a dachshund or a greyhound.
Exactly, my two dachshunds would last, you know, 30-40 yards at least.
Oh, that's yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
my dachshund would not last that far, but I wouldn't either. So, what is the role of the St. Vincent Hospital Foundation?
Well, we're there to really, we're promoting kind of a healthy living lifestyle. And I think the most important thing to remember is a lot of people ask me, well, I don't have a dog, you know, should I come? And it's like, yes. It's really important for people to get outside. It's beautiful. This past week has just been incredible weather here in Santa Fe. And tomorrow is going to be another great day. I think sunny and high of 77. And so it's going to just be beautiful. So we just want everybody to come out and have a good time.
So that's 8 a.m. to noon and... Just show up. Where do you show up again?
Alto Park. That's the right by Bicentennial Pool, right across from the Solano Center. Well, down a little ways from Solano Center, but in between.
So West Alameda somewhere.
West Alameda between the pool and the tennis courts.
Okay.
Yeah, where the senior center.
The senior center is right. Yeah.
And so show up with or without your animal, and have a good time all day.
It's just a lot of fun. We also have, we've been really encouraging people to, we do different kinds of events and activities. And for example, we're going to have there'll be agility training demonstration and some nose work. The fine folks at Lucky Dog.
Nose work?
Yeah, nose work.
What's nose work?
That's a real popular kind of an activity for dogs. It also gives them, they try to find, it's like, it's almost like a search and rescue kind of thing where they try to find something. And they're we're working on trying to get a vehicle there and so the dog can actually find whatever it is.
Oh, so you show the dog the shirt of the little boy who's gone missing?
Well, we won't have that kind of shirt, but something like that. That's the idea. And then they go crazy finding it, and it really gives a dog some, something, a target, something to find. And it's very useful for dogs who, you know, a lot of dogs want a job. They want activity, and that's what they do.
And a lot of dogs have really lost their connection to whence they came.
Exactly. And so that encourages them, that directs them back into their origins, I suppose.
Right.
And then we also have Becky at Companion Animal Grooming is going to be trimming a poodle. just as a demonstration, I thought it would be kind of cool to have just different kinds of things that people can see.
Have you ever tried to trim a poodle? It's really hard.
I'm sure, to make it look really even.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And she's going to do a scissor cut, and it's going to be a beautiful poodle. It's I think it was a former champion. So it'll be kind of a fun thing to do.
And they've spent a lot of time letting its fur grow, its hair grow all the way out.
She's done a little bit of pre-cutting because we didn't really want to get the clippers out there, but she's going to do the scissor cut and finish it up. It's going to be nice. And then let's see what else and then, of course, there'll be some stupid pet tricks, supposedly.
Stupid pet tricks?
Well, I don't know if they're stupid.
Stupid, but you know, something
like
that the owner is proud of.
The tricks are stupid or the pet is stupid?
No, that would be me. Stupid Ben tricks. And then we'll also, this year is really kind of special because we have Nicole Brady. She's a KOB news anchor, and she'll be leading the walk to the plaza. Usually Carl does it, which is very good job leading the pack.
But now we have someone with a more popular face than myself.
Nicole Brady with KOB. And she has her own two dogs, Lacey, and I can't remember the other dog's name, but she's very canine positive and wanted to just be part of this. And so we're really happy to bring her about.
And we have a special guest this year for our 10K run. Last year we had a couple of the elite Kenyan marathoners that train here in Santa Fe, and this year we have Jonathan Ndambuki from Kenya, and I think his personal best in a marathon is like 2:10 or 2:11.
2 hours and ten minutes.
Yeah.
For a marathon.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is like...
That doesn't make any sense.
I was happy to do under 4 hours, so...
Right.
That's good, too.
Yeah. Well, last year, I think at the beginning, I asked him, now, are you going to like race, or are you just going to kind of hang with the rest of the people? And he said, well, we'll just take it as it is. And I think they, one of them won it in the 10K in 34 minutes, and I think he was just basically jogging.
Yeah, they could essentially go twice to 10Ks and still beat everybody.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So they'd lap you and
exactly.
Still win.
And smile. Take a little break with a drink of water.
I love those guys. They're just like, they're so good.
It's beautiful to watch them run, honestly. It's just like, oh, there's perfection in human body.
Yeah.
Just like a dog running, in my mind.
Yeah, just like a dachshund running up the hill at the dog park. Ka-thump.
Right, ka-thump. Right, exactly. 600 paces for each of our little steps.
So then also I wanted to say that after, sort of towards the end of the event, we always have sort of a dog parade, and then we have dog contests, which are like the best dog kisser, the best tail wagger, the best best
barker.
Barker, yes, and which is not something we really encourage, but in this particular case we do.
How do you get your dog to bark?
Many people do it in very different ways. It's very interesting, actually, to watch what people do. I don't think some of them we can describe on the air, but
really?
And then the final one, actually, I think the best contest is most looks like owner.
Exactly.
Which either some people are like don't want to admit that they look like their dog, and then other people really. And remember the woman that won last year?
Oh yeah,
she was painted and she totally looked like her dog.
Yeah, people really get into it. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cheating if you paint.
Yeah, well, you know, and the greyhounds, you know, some people kind of look like greyhounds, honestly. different body types.
Sometimes I see photographs of people, like one time I saw photographs of four people who were participating in an event who shall remain nameless, and the event will too, and each one of them was such a distinct dog breed. And I thought, this is just, never mind. Anyway.
Hey, speaking about dog breeds, no, not about breeds, but I wanted to tell you about a really exciting thing that's happening at the shelter this month. It's called the Back in Black.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the whole month we're partnering with Best Friends Animal Society. And they have every year they have a program that really encourages people to take a second look at black animals, like dogs and cats, because as you know, they're the animals that are really they're lovable animals, but they're sometimes among the least adopted because for a variety of reasons.
It's totally racism.
No, what it is actually is a lot of times that people, you know, you look at photos, black doesn't show up well against a background, depending on the background, so they don't come across as in photos as lovable as they are. So anyway, this encourages people to take a second look at dogs and cats that might have a little bit of black in them. So we're giving like half price for the adoption fees for all animals in black.
And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of New Mexican black dog mutts.
Exactly. And in fact, I think I have six right now, because I've been raising three black little puppies, and my other dogs are mostly black. So there's a sentiment about that as well. People who really are attracted to black animals. I don't understand it.
Right.
I love animals, so.
Yeah, well, they're all beautiful.
They really are.
So you've got some dogs that are up for adoption. Ben Swan, ladies and gentlemen, is holding up the pieces of paper with these two darling animals on them. And one of them is, in fact...
They're both black.
A black dog with a... Well, they're kind of black. I mean, this one has a whitish snout marking, which is very cute. It's a Labrador Retriever Queensland Heeler mix of some kind. So he's got that little freckly nose thing, which is super cute.
It's a very sweet dog.
Year and a half old spayed named Anya.
Exactly.
And what do you know about this dog?
Anya, well, as all dogs are, this
cute.
Anya is very smart and playful, and she, you know, she likes some dogs, but she prefers to be, you know, some dogs just don't get along that well with other dogs, and this is one that probably would do best by herself in her own home. But that doesn't mean that she might not get along with it. If somebody has a dog, they should come in and do what we call meet and greet and see how they get along. So, and Queensland Heelers, they're fun dogs. They can be a bit energetic, anyway, she's going to be a very sweet dog. And then there's this very strange named cat called Proby, who is smoke. I would say black, smoke, and white. Although we kind of think that Proby goes under the back and black special. Anyways, he's an easygoing guy. Last night we were talking about this cat in particular, and Catherine, our adoption counselor, was holding him the entire time that they were writing about him, and he was like looking at us like, what are you doing? What are you talking about me? That's not me. So, as animals often do. So, Proby is a Norwegian Forest and Turkish Angora cross. Luxurious
Good
black...
heavens.
Yes. A luxurious black smoke medium-length coat. He loves to show off and have brushed. So...
It doesn't get any more luxurious than that cat.
A Norwegian forest, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So those are our two prime, but there's plenty more at our shelter any time of the day.
Now, how many, when your animals get adopted, when your animals go into the shelter and they pass all their temperament tests and they all that, do they mostly get adopted? Do some of them languish forever? To some of them, what happens?
Well, a lot of things happen. We really encourage, the shelter is a great place, but it's not the perfect place for animals on a long-term basis. We just recently were very happy to adopt a dog named Ladybug, who has been in there since... She's probably one of the longest...
You adopted out Ladybug?
Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful.
A guy named Nick adopted Ladybug.
Oh, that's so happy making.
Yeah, and so what happens a lot of times is that we'll keep the dog up for adoption, and then if it doesn't work out well, or, you know, after a few weeks or a month or so, we might put it in foster so the dog can have a little bit of a break and then come back. And there's different options that we try to do to make sure that the dogs or cats just have a really good, you know, just be ready for adoption. And we might want them to make their time at the shelter as happy as possible. So it's great to have mix them up. Like Ladybug, for example, had two foster families, one main one who really, really was pushing for her. And a lot of people were pushing for Ladybug, especially. Jeannie, one of our volunteers, sponsored her adoption fee. So essentially it was a free adoption.
Uh-huh.
Things like that.
It must still be harder to adopt out pit bulls.
It varies. It depends. The thing about pit bulls is that a lot of people, they look at these bully breeds and they really don't know the difference between a pit bull and another, like a bulldog. Well, not a bulldog, but a boxer, for example. So what we've been doing, which has been kind of exciting, is we've been doing DNA testing.
Uh-huh.
So to let people know that, you know, you might think this dog is a bully breed, but it's not. It's mainly Labrador Retriever or something like that. And so it's been fun being able to do that and saying this dog has been DNA tested. So not that there's anything wrong with the
You DNA test them for breed?
Yeah, just not on all of them, but we've just been doing this program.
Do you have a crime scene investigation at the animal shelter?
You know, DNA testing has gotten really inexpensive. And so it's just really interesting to have a little game about, okay, what do you think this breed is? But in reality,
like, it's something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like us.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw a documentary about some people who got DNA tested, and they thought, let's see, one guy thought he was mostly it wasn't African American, it was British. He was Afro-British. And it turned out that he was a lot Eastern European and all these things. And your skin color just doesn't even tell a lot of the story. And then one guy who looked like he was maybe German or something was mainly African in his genetics.
So you can't really judge a book by its cover
or a dog by its... You cannot judge a book by its cover or a dog by its wag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You may be part dachshund.
Definitely I'm part something.
I know I am. What about you, Carl?
I don't know. I feel part dachshund some days.
Carl, I have to say, having walked with his wife in the dog park on multiple occasions, has some of the cutest little animals ever.
They are.
Two
they're
cute
very,
little dachshunds.
That one is very special, and even our vet says that dog has got the most interesting, special temperament I've ever seen in a dachshund.
That sounds like it
and they're
could
both rescue
be an
dogs,
insult.
Yeah.
Your dog has the most special.
Well, no, he comes out, you know, after an appointment, he goes, that dog is amazing.
That's
and, you know, for a vet to say that, you know, they see thousands of dogs a day.
So, well, that's like when you're back when, at the age when all your friends have just started having kids. And my friend used to say, when he would see a kid that was not very, you know, infant, that was not very...
Cute.
He would always say, what a baby.
Yeah, I was coached when I was very young about the proper things to say to babies. You don't, like you say, they're always beautiful. Just like puppies are always beautiful and kids are always beautiful.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I believe there was a Seinfeld episode on that, on the baby syndrome.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
where
right.
Where someone had a baby and it wasn't that cute.
It was not that cute. Now, what a baby definitely works. Now I've given away my secret.
Exactly.
What a
ladies
baby.
And gentlemen,
what a baby.
You can try it. What a baby. The parents are always fooled.
So to go back to the Pause for a Cause, which is a really, really fun event, I wanted to say that we also have lots of food and all kinds of snacks, and the vendors are really, really pushing to make it really exciting for people. And this year we'll have an incentive for people to get to the plaza and back. Daphne at Pooch Pantry has made this huge cookie, this dog biscuit cookie. So that's incentive for your dogs to get to the plaza. And then we'll have some...
What's
some
in it?
Well, last year she did... it's just a really nice, big cookie. Then she has this frosting, which is different kinds of, you know, canine-loving kind of probably liver treats or something like that on it that has Pause for a Cause on it. Pooch Pantry has... they used to be over by George O'Keefe Museum. Now they've moved over near the FedEx off of Guadalupe.
What are your dog's favorite foods?
They both of our dogs go nuts for greenies.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what they put in them that makes them, because they're just like, they're so obsessed with the time period also that you give it to them. And we put ours on top of the washing machine, so after they've eaten, they like stand. One of ours just stands at the washing machine, just like looks up at it. And at first we were like, "What's with the washing machine?" But this just totally addicted to. The greenies are just they go nuts for. I don't know.
Some
what
kind
it
of
is.
Dog crack or something.
Yeah.
I find that my
dog
dogs.
Nip.
Yeah, dog nip. My dogs love anything I'm eating. It doesn't matter what it is.
Oh right. Yeah. I was eating an artichoke last night, and one of my terriers was looking up, saying, "Can I have some?" Like. No.
Did you give it? You didn't no. give it to her?
Artichoke? Are you kidding? She would have been chewing that thing this, you know, all night.
Oh, it wasn't the artichoke hard.
Oh, the whole thing.
The, you know, those leaves
the
are
leaves.
Super fibrous.
Oh,
yeah, you
right.
probably don't want to be giving
right.
it to your
no,
dog.
No, no, no. Actually, our older dachshund loves carrots.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a good snack for them to get into.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves carrots. I think it's because of just the kind of the combination of crunchy and sweet. And they love bananas, too. Strange.
These are very, very domesticated animals.
Yes, that's true.
We give them smoothies on weekends.
Canine smoothies?
Before your 10K run. Yes.
With a little bit of liver flavoring in there with the smoothie. Okay.
Yeah, I would say my dog's favorite treat is those marrow bones.
Oh, yeah.
Which I microwave. And then I was told by a vet to actually take out the marrow because it's so rich that it can give them, it's too much. It can give them pancreatitis, especially a little dogs like what like I've got. So I take out the marrow and just give them these sizzling, well, you wait for it to cool a little bit, but these sort of sizzling, slightly browned marrow bones. And they will chew for weeks.
Yeah, they love those things.
And then you realize what the term bone of contention means.
Ah, no, I just now added those up together.
as they fight over...
When they get to that center, it's just like they're like in heaven. I mean, yeah, they're like, wow.
Yeah, and then one time I was at Smith's and I bought a package of smoked pork feet.
Oh, yeah.
And they like those too, ladies and gentlemen. Smoked pork feet. We made up a song about smoked pork feet, which I will not break your ears by singing.
I can't wait till you do your musical, your canine musical, Mary Charlotte. Because you can put all this dog songs that you've got together into some kind of, you know, dance routine. There you go.
Yeah.
It'll be just like the, what was the Mormon one?
The Book of Mormon.
Yeah. Exactly.
That is such a wonder. I haven't seen that.
It'll be the Book of Canaan musical by Mary Charlotte.
You know, the Book of Mormon sent a touring company to Denver. It's actually happening later in the summer. And it was sold out in 2 hours.
Yeah.
First, all the tickets were taken by people who were members of the Denver Center. And once they went on sale to the public, you actually had to call at 8 that morning and probably get a busy signal. And I didn't get them. So.
And it was just for 2 weeks?
The performance, it's happening, I think, for several weeks in August. I'm not sure how many. And you can get scalp tickets for hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Wow.
It's crazy. But I've ordered the soundtrack to that, and I've listened to it about 4 million times. And it's so good. And yeah. I can't wait till they send the touring company to Pope Joy Hall.
That'll be good.
It'll be
a
while.
That's right, because the two writers were from Colorado.
The two writers are from Colorado. And they are the inventors of South Park.
Yes.
Which is the best television show ever made in the history of the universe.
Yes, it is.
But we were talking about dogs.
Pause for a cause.
Yes.
So we just encouraged. Yeah, and cats. But although.
Cats have paws.
Cats, they do. And I don't. We've had a couple cats in the Pause for a Cause, but generally it's a dog thing. But I encourage anybody to bring whatever animal they want, even their own children. So it starts at the registration is at 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
And
run starts at 9.
Yes.
Walk starts at 9:15. Pause for a Cause, Santa Fe 2012. Ben Swan with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Carl Ferguson with the St. Vincent Hospital Foundation, the two beneficiaries of Pause for a Cause. And many sponsors. KOB TV will be there. We're just recapping.
Sure.
And we'll see you tomorrow. And for more information, you can call 983-4309, extension 202, or register at active.com. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break, and Diane Karp will be with us in a moment, speaking of the arts. And I'd like now to welcome Diane Karp. She is the executive director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. She is with us many Fridays, speaking of the arts. Welcome, Madame.
Santa Fe.
Good morning,
Mary Charlotte.
Good morning
to all the creative folks who live and work here in Santa Fe.
Of which there are oh so many.
Ah, yes.
Now, it's funny, but there are sometimes this thing happens where you try to get somebody on the air, and you try to get them over and over again in so many ways, and I tried to do a pre-record, or we tried to get them live. Couldn't do it this week.
It
was not meant to be. I don't know. Kevin McDonald is the filmmaker. He made a film last year called Life in a Day. He's quite a prolific filmmaker, wonderful filmmaker, and his latest film is called Marley. It's a documentary on Bob Marley. I saw it the other night. It's long. It's fascinating. It's really good.
There's a great piece by Rob DeWalt in the Positive today.
Did he like it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I thought it was pretty positive.
We tried to get Kevin McDonald on the air, but it didn't work out. So here is my interview with Kevin McDonald. Kevin McDonald, what was it like to make the film? It was so much fun.
No, he had to say something Marley-esque. Thank you. And now we can move on to what we can talk about. It's Friday. Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the next week. And there are a couple real highlights for today. The first one that I want to talk about is the revitalization and the amazing energy that's now at the New Mexico Museum of Art, and the second installation of the Five at Five,
yes,
which is the alcove exhibitions that they've revitalized from the years past, is going to have a group of five amazing artists. The reception is tonight at the New Mexico Museum of Art, and it's free. So I recommend that everybody stop off and look at these five small, focused exhibitions that are in the main hall to the right when you come in. And it's the work of Bob Ellis, Steve Fitch. Steve's a photographer. Harmony Hammond. Harmony is one of the great women artists of the late 20th and early 21st century. Work by August Muth, who does holograms, so that's a,
really?
A lively little thing, yes, holographic work, and paintings by Terry Rowland. So we've got some amazing local artists, local New Mexicans. Stop at the Santa Fe, at the New Mexico Museum of Art, right down there in downtown Santa Fe, and check it out.
And kudos to Mary Kershaw, the director,
exactly,
of the museum, who's fabulous.
And she has really been a force for great positive change there. All of these artists are going to be giving talks, but that's going to be later on May 18th. So at 5 p.m., swing by. And then I have another very important recommendation. So one's a museum opening. The other is a small exhibition with such power and such presence. And it's an exhibition called Memory of Time. And it's at the Touching Stone Gallery, which is over there on Old Santa Fe Trail, downtown as well. And it's a solo exhibition of an artist, a ceramicist, named Fusako Akau. And these works are all gathered under the same title of the exhibition. It's called Memory of Time. And they're beautiful ceramic sculptures that deal with issues of landscape. It is powerful, poetic, beautiful, well-crafted. Those are my two big recommendations for Friday night. And there's lots more, but I know you have some things you want to talk about.
Well, one thing I want to mention is that a local cellist had her 1790 cello stolen from her car at DeVargas Mall.
What?
And there is a police report, obviously, and she's checking pawn shops. But if anybody has any information about this whatsoever, I guess, let's see, please, you can write to me and I will pass it on. But keep your eyes open for this beautiful antique cello, which is of great value, above all, to its owner.
And
thoughtless,
no,
stupid, ridiculous.
Well, you know, oftentimes what happens,
but contact
is,
me,
yes.
radiocafe@ksfr.org. And, yeah, or contact the police.
Absolutely. I think we all need, in times like this, we need to be very thoughtful about the respect for others. And it's not a matter of stuff that we're talking here. It really is a work of art that is at the core of this woman's life.
Right.
So I'm sure if you stole her car, it wouldn't have nowhere near the power and the importance. Another beautiful exhibition that I want to mention is at Llewellyn Galleries, the downtown gallery on Palace Avenue. It's paintings by Margaret Fitzgerald. The title of the exhibition is Natura, and that has a reception that opens at 5:30. But I might mention, just in general, for all of you folks, it's First Friday. So it's a good time to be walking Palace Avenue, walking Canyon Road, walking around the city where the galleries are, and just dropping in and out of these galleries to check out what's happening.
And, of course, don't forget Collected Works Bookstore. Tonight from 4 to 6, there is a reception for the exhibit of art by local artist John Muchmore, who I would have liked to get on the air, but didn't have time. It's been a crazy week.
It has been a crazy week, and you jumped right in. John Muchmore is a staple of Santa Fe arts. He is a man who was deeply involved in terms of organizations of arts, working with the city and the Arts Commission. John's a brilliant painter. He's a lovely man. It's a beautiful exhibition. And there's always a good reason to go into Collected Works.
Yes.
Two other things that are going on very quickly is the Sweet Sounds of Motown. NDI and the New Mexico Public School students are going to be performing on Friday night at 5 and 7 p.m. And then they'll have a performance, I think, on Saturday at 2 p.m. NDI does some wonderful work with the new Santa Fe Public Schools, the New Mexico Public Schools. So that's a really uplifting evening.
And continuing on with Collected Works Bookstore, Joe Lansdale unfortunately had to cancel his appearance for his event tomorrow at 5 in the afternoon, but they hope to reschedule him for the summer. And on Sunday, the Collected Works Bookstore presents the release of New Mexico Centennial Edition of the New Mexico Poetry Review, which will feature readings by contributing poets, including N. Scott Mominay, Janet Eigner, and Bill O'Neill.
Yes.
And then on Monday, May 7th, at 6 at Collected Works Bookstore, Chuck Greaves will be in for a reading of his mystery novel, Hush Money. And again, if I were Superwoman and there were all the time in the world, I could compress 1 hour into three, I mean, expand on this show, I would have everybody on. Anyway, it sounds like a really good book, if you like mysteries, especially Hush Money. It's about a lawyer who investigates a claim that leads him into the high-stakes world of professional show horse jumping.
Yeah.
And then
finally,
on Wednesday of next week, George Johnson's annual science writing workshop featuring readings from David Dobbs, Marilyn McKenna, George Johnson, and Sandy Blakeslee. And that, if you are at all interested in science, that should be really, really cool.
Absolutely. So another thing to think about, Frog Fest was a group performance every year for 7 years that comes out of a local recording studio here. And Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill on Friday night is going to present Stephanie Hatfield and Hot Mess, Bill Palmer's TV Killers. It's rock. It should be quite lively. So we recommend that at 7 p.m. on Friday night, you get over and see the sort of iteration that's going to take the place of Frog Fest.
Frog Fest.
Yes, indeed. Saturday. Saturday, there are some amazing things going on. Canticum Novum, the chorus and opera, will be performing on Friday night, and that's at the...
And Saturday.
That's right. Not on Friday night, on Saturday. Thank you so much. At the Immaculate Heart of Mary Retreat and Conference Center. Very beautiful, but what I'm really going to recommend is that at from 4 to 6, the Santa Fe Art Institute is going to open one of the most important exhibitions we've had for a very long time, and it's the early work of Nancy Holt.
Right, whom we had on the air.
Yes, who was on the air yesterday morning, and Nancy Holt's work is work that is formative in the transformation from object and museum relationships to art that is part of the landscape.
And the Santa Fe Youth Symphony Association presents its annual spring concert event. And tonight there's a concert at the Elementary Strings at the St. Francis Auditorium. And then tomorrow at 6, Jazz at Warehouse 21. The one tonight is at 6:30. And then Sunday, Preparatory and Intermezzo String Orchestra, Youth Philharmonia. A lot of stuff going on. If you want to find out more, you can visit the website SFYS, that stands for Santa Fe Youth Symphony, .org, or call 467-3770.
Also on Saturday, there are two really lovely community events. One is that it's World Labyrinth Day, and they're going to be celebrating the labyrinth up at the Cathedral Basilica at St. Francis at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And then you can wander down to the Santa Fe Arts Commission's Community Gallery, because Sabra Moore, who is one of the great artists living and working here in New Mexico, Sabra will be coming down to work with the community to make small works on paper, with wood and other media called Working with Words, which is part of the Odes and Offerings project
that the
Arts Commission has been forwarding at their community gallery. Also, at the Institute of American Indian Arts, say that one real fast, they're having their spring powwow. And as I've said before, it is a beautiful campus. It's out on Avant Nupo Road.
Which is out past the Santa Fe Community College.
And that starts at 11 a.m. And I think that it is a wonderful way for the general community to have the chance to enjoy the communal phenomenon of the tribes of New Mexico.
And don't forget the Youth Creating Change Film Festival. That is Saturday at 6:30 at the Zona del Sol building on the corner of Jaguar and Country Club Road. And youth activists from the Santa Fe school system have been working together with professional mentors to produce their own short films about issues facing Santa Fe and things that they grew up with and things they're facing as students. So it's a wonderful way to see some cool films and to get into the minds of young people.
One of the things that is most powerful is that you give young people the ability to have a voice, and they're completely comprehensible, they're intelligent, they're sensitive, and the arts provide that venue for young people, for all people, to speak clearly and thoughtfully about who they are and how they see the world around them.
Now here's one. This is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen.
This is not a joke. That's a good way to open it.
World Laughter Day.
Yes.
The World Laughter Day celebration Sunday from 1 to 4 at the Commons at 2300 West Alameda includes laughter circles, hula hooping, circle dancing, clowning, community art projects, improv games, and fun.
Another thing that's going on Saturday, if we can back up a little, is a really lively event. It's called the Kentucky Derby Day.
And is it Kentucky Derby already?
Yes, and it's to support Santa Fe Care Center, and it's their fundraiser. It'll go from noon to 5 p.m. They're going to have live broadcasts of the Kentucky Derby, auctions, southern buffets, all kinds of sort of cool southern-like things, and that's going on at La Posada de Santa Fe Resort and Spa.
And the Camino de Paz School and Farm Animal Food for Thought Brunch is happening on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Camino de Paz School and Farm in Santa Cruz, New Mexico. For more information, 231-2819. Joel Salatin will be there. And sounds like fun. For more information, yeah, 231-2819.
Great. If we move into Monday night, the Santa Fe Art Institute.
Oh, you're being linear, aren't you?
I am. I know. I have to fight against it all the time, but I keep finding myself.
I'm fighting you in a linear balance. By being random.
It's balance. The Santa Fe Art Institute's exhibition that opens Saturday from 4 to 6, the Sightlines exhibition with Nancy Holt's work. On Monday night, Nancy Holt, the artist, and Alina Williams, this very gifted young curator, will be at the Tipton Hall on the campus of the University of Art and Design. And they will be talking, Nancy will be talking about her work, her early work, and then Alina and Nancy will have a conversation. So I invite everyone, 6 p.m. on Monday, to come and join us. Another thing going on Monday, that takes place at 2 p.m., is a talk called The Politics of Making History, Four Early Collections of Colonial Mexican Art. And it takes place at the Museum of Spanish Colonial Art, and it promises to be a very interesting talk.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
The Santa Fe Interfaith Prayer Peace Walk is happening on Sunday from 1 to 4. Leaders and ministers from many spiritual communities in Santa Fe, over 12 ministers, I think, or more, are going to be there. The opening ceremony is at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation on Barcelona Road, and the walk will continue down Barcelona to Temple Beth Shalom and St. John's United Methodist Church. It will end at the St. Francis Basilica downtown at the Cathedral. And for more information, you can call 982-9674, extension 14. You can also go to UU Santa Fe. UU stands for Unitarian Universalist. UUSantaFe.org. And that's a wonderful thing. Interdenominational peace walk.
Absolutely. It's like apple pie and motherhood. I think that we need to spend a little bit more time thinking about peace and a little bit less time about how we're going to get around.
Pie.
Wednesday, the 9th, there is a pretty wonderful event that's going on at El Museo Cultural. This is an organization that supports all kinds of presentations and exhibitions and is a central part of the cultural landscape. and they're doing their fundraiser with an exhibition called the $64,000 Question. It's an exhibit of scenic backdrops from 1928 to 35, from the old Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. So that's at 7 o'clock. Go out, support El Museo, because they help support all of the arts organizations in town. And the other thing that's going on Wednesday night, which is wonderful, is a concert performance over at Soul Santa Fe Stage and Grill, and it's going to be the Melvins, which is a punk and post-punk. I can't imagine post-punk. I'm trying to figure out what that is. It's the Unsane, and it opens at 7:30. Should be a lively, lively night.
And the Cowboy Poetry, the Cowboy Poet is a musical that opens tonight at the Los Alamos Theater. It's full of country western tunes, line dancing, and all kinds of visuals. Anyway, Cowboy Poet opens tonight and runs Friday and Saturday nights through May 19th and Sunday matinee on May 13th. And where is it? Ay, ladies and gentlemen.
Ay, caramba. So while you're looking that up, can I
just... You guys send me organized press releases.
Remind everyone that there's going to be this amazing science writing workshop that Collected Works is presenting with George Johnson on Wednesday. And that takes place at 5:45 p.m. I love those times.
Not 6.
Not 5:30, but 15 minutes before the hour of 6 o'clock.
Los Alamos Little Theater must be the place. Have you heard of Los Alamos Little Theater?
I haven't, but it's probably...
I would Google it, ladies and gentlemen, because that's all I can do. I don't have a website or phone number or anything.
So I was listening, and I just want to know, because I couldn't hear. I was sitting next to you. I wasn't on listening to the radio. I assume that Ben talked about the May 2012 Change Their Futures, B.I.B.?
Well, no, we talked for Pause for a Cause.
Okay, well, there's an adoption event, and for the whole month of May, the Santa Fe
Animal
Shelter. Black dogs.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
And I want you to know that I've put my beagle in a black T-shirt just so she could be hip for the month of May.
Well, your dog had an accident.
Well, my dog got attacked by a pair of Great Danes. It's strange phenomenon that's going on in the community, and I just want to reiterate for the community, we all love our dogs. They need to be kept on leashes unless they're in a very special spot where they're allowed to run free.
Yeah.
I think we need to become more and more aware of that and a little more respectful of those dogs who are stuck on leashes.
Well, I'll tell you something. Dogs on leashes... My dog was attacked on Christmas Day by a dog on a leash whose owner was stupid that she just sat there, she stood there screaming and holding the dog on the leash while it attacked my dog, who was then on his back trying to fight back, but he couldn't do it because he was so small and the dog was so big. If your dog is on a leash and it starts attacking another dog, pull it off.
That's really
good. It's not rocket science.
And I have to tell you, the human reactions when this dog attacked, when the pair of Great Danes attacked my dog, I literally, without thinking, reached down and pulled the Great Dane off my dog, because that Great Dane was off leash. You just don't even think about your own welfare.
No, that's what I did. I pulled this dog off.
Exactly.
And also, with all the kerfuffle about pit bulls, all three of my dogs have been attacked by different breeds. One by a pit bull, one by a chow mix, and one by a terrier. Terrier mutt. So it's not just pit bulls.
No, it's not just pit bulls. And Great Danes are usually very gentle. It's not always the case. I want to put in a plug for the revitalization of Yaris Arts Projects. Dennis Yaris is now running the gallery, which is over there near the George O'Keefe Museum annex. And he's bringing in some of the most beautiful, beautiful work. And it's worth just going there to see some of the great classic artists in major work.
The Wildlife Center in Española is holding its open house Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 2. Bring the family for a day of wildlife fun. You can meet raptors, and you can learn about snakes and rattlesnakes. There's going to be a wildlife walk, a little educational walk. and they're going to talk about eagles and bobcats and hawks, owls, and foxes.
That's what you get when you cross a hawk and an owl. You get a howl.
You get a howl. Yeah. TheWildlifeCenter.org or 753-9505. That place is wonderful.
Yes. There's this crazy event that's going on down at the Rancho de las Golondrinas, and that's a reenactment of the Civil War. So if you're into people in costumes...
If you missed it...
Right, if you missed
1862...
The thing that people forget when they do those kinds of reenactments is that America lost more of our citizens, more people died in the Civil War than in any other major world conflagration. And it was citizen against citizen and brother against brother. Somehow when they do these reenactments, they romanticize. And it's fun to go and watch, but...
Romanticizing war is really not on my to-do list.
Keep it in mind if you decide you want to go.
Poetry at Paul's, at Lucky Bean, O-12 We Delve. We Delve. O-12 We Delve. Groove Poetry Version 4, Saturday, that's tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Lucky Bean, which is formerly Borders San Busco, with Jack Kolkmeyer, Nick Kolkmeyer, Angela Yanda, and the World Ensemble featuring Al Fayette, Dave Nielsen, and Ross Hamlin. Check it out. That sounds like fun.
Another thing that's going on is the Academy for the Love of Learning is opening their new campus.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, exactly. And they've taken the old Seton Castle, and they've rebuilt and created a beautiful campus out there. So they're going to do all kinds of events and activities. Check it out and enjoy yourself out in the beautiful day on Saturday.
And Sunday, May 6th at 10:30 in the morning, From the Heart, a morning with the music of Schumann, Kahn, and Kenji Bunch, hosted by Sunday Chatter. Oh, this is an Albuquerque thing. At the Cosmo, 1715 5th Street in Albuquerque. You know why I put that in? Because there's a picture of Kenji Bunch with his dog. Sorry.
Hey, there's
they
the
know
clue,
how to
folks.
They know how to send a press release.
Exactly. If you want to send a press release to Mayor Charlotte, throw in a picture of a dog. Yes, indeed. It works every time. She's one of those people, you just show her some. Forget about showing her a small, shiny object. You just show her a dog.
Yep. It's sick.
It's not sick. It's kind of wonderful for people to understand.
And don't forget to go to Bob Marley. Don't forget to go to the screen and see movies like The Kid with a Bike.
Oh, Kid with a Bike. Is that a powerful...
Is it good? Have you seen it?
It is not only good, it is great.
Oh, my goodness.
It is a powerful film. It won the Best of Cannes. And it's about human emotion, childhood trauma, and the ability to sort of overcome these horrible wounds and scars and allow for a boy to grow in a positive and sweet direction. It's sad, it's sweet, it's beautiful. It's a wonderful film.
And don't forget, rehearsal for a Sicilian tragedy, Monsieur Lazare.
Monsieur Lazare is a wonderful film, and it's really a film about the power of deep commitment. It's about an immigrant Algerian who lies in order to be hired as a substitute teacher for a class in Canada, obviously in Quebec, because they speak Canadian French, which is always funny. And he goes into a classroom where the well-beloved teacher committed suicide in the classroom. And
good
so
heavens.
It's about the power of direct communication and love. It's another gorgeous film.
Well, many good films at the CCA Santa Fe, at the screen on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And it is time to go.
Well, one last thing. There's a film at the CCA Cinematheque on the golden age of Mexican cinema, and it's Maria Candelaria. It's a beautiful classic Mexican film. Check it out. It opens this weekend.
We've been talking about the arts. Speaking of the arts, with Diane Karp. Oh my God, I didn't talk about this week's featured cat for Felines and Friends. It's Martine, who is a very cute Siamese mix with an unusually patterned white cream and rust tan coat. For more information, 505-316-2281 or fnfnm.org. That stands for Felines and Friends New Mexico.
Yes.
.org. Okay, we talked about the cat.
Excellent. Thank goodness.
In case people might think that I favor dogs. Anyway, we've been speaking with Diane Karp, Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're very welcome, Mary Charlotte. Come out to see the Nancy Holt Show.
Yes.
Hasta la vista.
Hasta la vista. And next week, Rob DeWalt will be back. And thank you so much for listening to KSFR Santa Fe Radio Cafe. And we will see you on Monday. Hasta la vista, baby.